Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and today's show features a special guest. She's the science babe, and she's speaking out to debunk pseudoscience, flim-flam, hoo-ha, and plain old BS. She's got a bachelor's in chemistry and a master's in forensic science. She's been a chemistry professor, explosives chemist, toxicology chemist, and now an analytical chemist at a pesticide company. Uh-oh, I think all the people are going to be knowing what side you're on. You're going to be shilling for Monsanto, huh, Yvette?
I don't work for Monsanto. I'm not going to say which company I work at. Let's keep that out of there. But I am on the side of pesticides, because let's admit it, pesticides give us food.
All right. Well, we'll get into that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So you're the food babe online. You're sort of like the antithesis. You're not the food babe. You're the science babe.
Yes.
You're the antithesis of the food babe. And so... What's all about? What's the science babe all about?
Oh, the science babe, well, I started it because I like to joke that I started the site after she took a swipe at my pumpkin spice lattes. Then it got personal. Mm-hmm. Because it's her whole campaign, because, you know, I looked at what she was doing, and I understand, you know, she's using the free market to peddle what she does, because she's... because she goes after things and says, look, it has this ingredient that I can't pronounce, so you shouldn't eat it. But you know what? You can't, when you look at the long names, the full names for certain vitamins, they're really hard to pronounce too. Mm-hmm. So that's not necessarily a reason why you shouldn't eat something. But then she took a swipe at my pumpkin spice latte, so I was a little annoyed. I shouldn't drink it. Now, we all know that pumpkin spice lattes aren't what you should be, you know, basing your diet on. And I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and I told my doctor about this, and she said, oh, they're so good, but you shouldn't have them more than twice a season. they're not a source of vitamin C.
Right.
But they're the ingredient in them that she said was a cancer-causing chemical was caramel color level 4. That sounds very, you know, sciencey. It's caramel color level 4. That's the worst level. Why is that bad? And she said it was in carcinogen class level 2B. Now, if somebody hasn't done the research, they hear carcinogen and that's bad. No, nobody wants to hear that there's a carcinogen in their food, myself included. I eat the food. I want it to be safe. Now, when a new product, anything that comes out of a laboratory goes into the food supply, the FDA needs to investigate. They need to hear what's the potential for harm. Now, everything goes into a classification. Carcinogen level 2B means there may be potential in some dosage for harm. However, you have to understand the dose makes the poison. Do you want to know what else is in carcinogen class level 2B? Brace yourself for it.
Uh-oh.
Coffee.
Because
the acrylamide that's accumulated during the roasting process.
So yes.
Never mind the caramel. And I mean, the food babe went on this whole thing that there's not only caramel color 2B, and there's two doses. Oh my God, the horror. Mm-hmm. But it's in two doses, and there's a toxic dose of sugar. And she uses, all of these people that are in the kind of woo-woo class of charlatans talk about things having toxins. I'm like, you have to define what a toxin is, and you have to not use these scare tactics to get people to not only not buy a product, but to get them to use your product.
Right, so, and you're a toxicology chemist, so I mean, yeah. You would know. I want to get back to Vani Hari here in just a second, the food babe. But you mentioned, I know she's using the free market, blah, 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 but you didn't sound too excited about the free market. Now, you told me you secretly lean a little bit towards the side of libertarianism. Does that mean that you have a shrine to Penn Jillette somewhere, or does that mean you just happen to actually understand economics?
Well, I don't just have a shrine to Pendulette. He's a personal friend of mine.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we're buddies. Actually, whenever I'm in Vegas, I get to see the show for free. We're friends.
Ooh.
But, oh, yeah, it's anytime. If you're ever in Vegas, I'll introduce you guys. But, yeah, I'm a registered libertarian. I tend to lean a little to the left from there. On the Science Babe, on my site itself, we stay pretty far away from politics.
You originally were kind of like, I don't know if I want to share your article, Mr. Libertarian guy.
It's like, oh, shush you. I grew up, it was funny I guess I'll go a little bit into politics. I grew up in a house with a father who was Republican, a mother who was a registered independent. And I think, like, when I was younger, just because you kind of are what your parents are, mm-hmm. I was a Republican because that's what my parents were. Then in college, because everyone was I was in college in Boston, I was a liberal because that's what you were. And then venturing out into the world a bit, I worked on a couple of political campaigns. And then after watching everyone break every single promise that ever made, I was like, that's it. Everyone, once they get into office, never holds up to what they say they're going to do. So that's kind of how I've landed at libertarianism. It's not so much that I'm bound to being a Rand Paul or an Ayn Rand, even though I'm a very big fan of Ayn Rand. I'm not very bound to the ideology so much as I think that no matter what, when someone gets into office, they're not going to hold their promises. And I really want to try to keep politicians bound to what they say. And I'm a big fan of liberty is what it comes down to.
Cool.
So.
Well, I mean, our listeners are going to like that, even though they may still want to kill you for trying to take away their...
I know, because that's why I appeared with my new puppy. You can't not love a new puppy.
All right, so let's keep moving. I want to talk about food game for the food babes. You know, she says that GMO foods are dangerous. Why is she wrong?
Well, she's wrong partially because we have evidence. I mean, I think that some people, when they get into their sales tactics and they get into their stances, they say, no matter what you say, you can't convince me that you're wrong. And there was a great article that came out in Forbes not that long ago saying we have a trillion meal stack of evidence saying that GMOs are safe. There's nothing whatsoever linking GMOs to any type of harm, any type of damage to people. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. But we've got, and I'll admit it, a couple years ago, I got very, very sick. And I went on the same kind of, I guess, journey to try to figure out if there was something in the food supply that was making me sicker. I guess I got a little personal. I got a very bad headache on one side of my head that never went away. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a horrifying thing to have happen, to get the worst headache of your life and have it not go away. As I went through the whole, you know, I went vegan. I tried cutting out I went on every type of diet that everyone ever recommended. In the process, I lost 90 pounds. I went very conscientious of my health. And I know at first when you shared my website with some of your viewers, people were like, we're sticking with the food, babe. She's anti-health. I'm like, that's the furthest thing from how I work. I'm very pro-health. I'm just against using pseudoscience to get to there. But I mean, I went through trying to cut out GMOs because I almost bought into that myself. And then I looked at the science and saw that it was sound. GMOs, sorry, you look like you're about to ask.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, did you find out what was wrong?
Yeah, it's a trigeminal nerve disorder. It's just occasionally something goes wrong with your trigeminal nerve. It's an idiopathic type of pain that just needs to be treated with. I'm going to go for a very basic answer, but with science. I'm very good at stuttering sometimes. But with a nerve pain type of medication, with an anti-seizure med.
Now, you know that the food babe, the reason that she got all into the anti-GMO stuff was because she had appendicitis.
That just happens sometimes. I mean, things go wrong with our health. And I mean, I like to say we see different things wrong with our health now than we would have seen 50, 100 years ago, because we're able to cure a lot of the really easy and basic things. Like during the Civil War, the number one cause of death wasn't gunshot wounds.
Going to the hospital.
Exactly. The number one cause of death was, I think the top causes of death were opportunistic infections and diarrhea.
Right.
Now people don't die of that in the first world anymore. They die of cancer because they live to be old enough to get cancer. Yeah. They live to be old enough to get immune system issues.
So the 1860s was a really bad time to go camping in the United States.
Camping was what we called having a house. house then.
Right, exactly. All right, so...
I do look at her tactics and how she frames, you know, we're sick and we're getting sicker. And it's like, no, we're not sick and getting sicker. And I think it's a very pessimistic view of the world, and it's a very pessimistic view of the healthcare system. I think part of my libertarianism is that I'm an optimist. I think that people use, I guess, their free will and their liberty to do good things. And I think that, sorry, you look like you're...
No, I was going to say, you know, Michael Shermer, I'm sure you're familiar with him, he talks about this thing that conspiracy theorists like to do. It's this type of thinking, it's called patternicity. And, you know, patternicity is basically where you see a whole bunch of M&Ms thrown out on the floor and it looks like a picture, it looks like a face. Or you see a cloud, for example, and the cloud looks like a face.
Looks like Jesus.
Yeah, or it looks like Jesus. Or you see Jesus on cheese toast or something like that.
And, oh, yeah, there was the cheese sandwich episode of Penn & Teller's show.
I've seen every episode. I show it to everybody I know.
And yeah, Penn gave me half the season, so
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it's
you know, I'll tell you, like, we'll get into this later, but like what I'm trying to do with the site is to create a place for libertarians who are skeptical minded, not conspiracy minded, to kind of have a place to go, because it's been so dominated for so long by the people who are like, you know, like 9/11 was an inside job and like kind of the crazy stuff. But anyways, we'll talk about that. Let's get back to the issues real quick.
Absolutely.
And we'll keep moving on. For decades we were told that saturated fat is bad for us, right? And we know now that the government was giving us these food recommendations based on flawed science, right? They were giving this food guide pyramid telling us, you know, you need to eat like 12 servings of grains a day, right? And, you know, we find out now that it's not really the, you know, the fats, saturated fats and butter and meat and things like that that are animal fats that are making us fat. It's sugars and carbohydrates.
Absolutely. And I mean,
my question is, do you think that governments are incompetent when it comes to prescribing health guides for people?
I always like to preface things with, I am not a nutritionist. I'm not a registered dietitian. I don't like to give out health advice before saying, please seek a doctor's or a dietitian's advice. I think that anytime you get your advice from someone other than a doctor on this stuff, or someone who's studied this for a long time, mm-hmm. you might not be getting the best advice. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm not sure where the advice was coming from earlier. We didn't always know the best advice in the 50s and 60s. But at the same time, the more and more studies come out, the more we know your best way to get your vitamins for the day is from eating plants. Mm-hmm. We're getting more showing that a healthier diet is based on, you know, small servings of protein coming from fish and from lean cuts of meat. And, you know, you're better off getting fat from butter or coconut oil than you are from margarine. My dog's rolling over here. but, you know, at one point we thought that saturated fat, as you said, was the was the devil. And people who were giving the same advice now, saying eat coconut oil, were once upon a time saying don't eat coconut oil because it had it was saturated fat. And they were saying, please have these liquid fats from canola oil. And we now know that really wasn't the case. And I mean, at the moment, my kitchen really has nothing processed. It's pretty much all stuff that I keep in mason jars. I'm stocked to the teeth right now on quinoa vegetables. I think this is horrible. I have organic, like three colors of popcorn will be having with melted coconut oil on it later.
Now you're eating organics. I mean, are you specifically seeking out organic foods?
Nope. I just like the triple colors of popcorn. I just have that in not organic. They actually don't sell genetically modified popcorn because they can't get it to pop.
Interesting.
Not sure what the science is on that. Most commercially eaten sweet corn in this country, from what I've read, I could be mixing this up. I apologize if I am. Most sweet corn is not genetically modified. That's eaten by people. The genetically modified stuff is mostly eaten by
cattle and things like that.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
it's for cattle feed.
All right. So I want to ask you, because, you know, my last question, you know, is about the food guide pyramid. How, you know, how science, you know, can sometimes make mistakes on what it thinks about, you know, making recommendations for people. But a lot of times, you know, what happens is that government policy, you know, will change to reflect what they call scientific consensus, right? So my next question is how do you feel about the science of climate change and whether or not we should be centralizing our economy into the hands of Washington, D.C. based on the consensus of climate change.
Well, there was a great, there's a great book called The Kindly Inquisitors by Jonathan Rauch, and I believe Penn Jillette is reading the audiobook version of this. I also recommend Penn's Penn Sunday School for a podcast. Not that I'm shilling for that or anything.
Shill.
I was on an episode of it a while ago. But moving on, it's there was a comment by Jonathan Rauch that said everything that we want to do that's going to combat climate change are things that we're going to be doing that are good for the economy anyway. Like, we're already trying. Sorry, my dog's wiggling. I just got my dog 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I see. Very close.
Everything that we want to do that's going to be good for the economy, cleaner energy, getting solar energy that's going to be helping us out, those are things that are going to be economically driven in the first place. Now, I mean, climate change, by and large, is a huge consensus of science to begin with. So, I mean, I would like to see, you know, some regulations in place to get cleaner cleaner cars and whatnot. But at the same time, I think that people are just going to buy them because they don't want to they don't want to buy a less sorry, buddy. They don't want to buy cars that take up, that only get 5 miles per gallon of fuel. People want to save the money. Mm-hmm. So I believe in the free market, and I believe that people are going to make smarter decisions on that anyway.
I agree. So, that's pretty much my view on this. Also, you know, I've been reading a lot of Michael Shermer's thoughts about this. You know, he changed his mind. You know, he used to be sort of more skeptical about it. My problem, I'm very skeptical of the people who push it on us, though, because their tactics usually involve raising taxes on people and engaging in methods that I just don't think happen to actually, you know, address the real problems.
Well, I liken it to kind of people who want to put a soda tax on sugary sodas. It's like, that doesn't change behavior. And the people it changes behavior on are people who really don't have the money, either don't have the money to begin with, or are just going to spend the money anyway.
Well, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio, who flies a private jet to go to the climate change rally, and then he tells everybody, we need to cut back on consumption. Well, screw you, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, all the poor people need to cut back on consumption, you know?
That kind of bothers me. And I mean, I'm not rich, I'm not poor, I'm in a comfortable enough income class, but if you start taxing someone like me, who, you know, just I finished paying off my student loans in by not doing anything fun for my late 20s. Yeah. I'm suddenly not going to be able to do anything fun. When I finally have everything paid off, I was very fiscally responsible in my late 20s so that I could start doing some fun things with it. So, I mean, I'm against taxing. I think I'm for doing, promoting a more, more responsible behavior with how companies, set out to create their products. And I think that the market is going to do that in the future, because it has. I mean, we're seeing companies make, I don't want to say, I hate using the term green products, but we're seeing companies make solar products. We're seeing wind.
Well, we see Tesla, you know, Elon Musk, you know, great libertarian who's pioneering these very, you know, free market, you know, green, energy solutions. So, yeah. So that to me is always the way to go, to look at people like that. But I'd like to move on to another topic. This is big news right now. You know, many of the problems with the Ebola outbreak in Liberia, it's associated with the fact that the people in Liberia adhere to religious traditions that require them to come into contact with the bodies. Do you think that superstition kills?
Yes. I mean, that's just a short answer for it. But I mean, I think that if they had the economic capability to modernize, and if they got rid of their superstitions, they would be in a much better position. Number one, it's horrible what they've gone through. And I feel horrible about the loss of life. But number two, if they, I forget where this quote's from, but any sufficiently advanced technology will be mistaken for magic. So if they were able to modernize, they would look at at the help that's been offered to them, and they would say, okay, this is just a new advance in technology, we can accept it. But I've heard rumors and I've seen articles that they've looked at this and gone, okay, this is trying to poison us. They haven't looked at it as help. And I really wish that wasn't the case.
Like, they're blaming the people who come in to help them, like the World Health Organization and different places. They're blaming those people on actually bringing the virus in, you know? And then there was, like, this institute, there was a compound, and, like, people raided the compound from something. They stole a bloody mattress for some reason and ran out with it. Just, like, wildly crazy stuff. And, like, you know, as a libertarian, you know, I'm always trying to find, like, the most, you know, pro-liberty, pro-individual liberty, you know, policy for things. But, like, you know, there's something like Ebola, you know, it makes you sit there and think, well, you know, what about quarantine policies and things like that?
Yeah.
You know?
But the way I look at this, and it's kind of, when it comes to public health, I kind of use the old adage of your right to swing your fist ends at my face. And this, apply that to public health. I really don't want you coughing your Ebola fist in my face.
Agreed. That's actually like, you know, a big problem with what we call the non-aggression principle in libertarianism, where it's, you know, what is considered aggression, you know, is if you cough your Ebola on someone, you know, you can't really say, oh, well, you owe me recompensation, and, you know, who's going to be able to work that out? So, you know, there is a really important, you know, part of public health that libertarians need to sort of address. But let me ask you one thing really worries me personally is how much we're drugging our children. You know, kind of we're diagnosing everybody with ADHD, right? You know, and conspiracy theorists will kind of say this is a conspiracy by big pharma to get profits and stuff. But I mean, I worry about all of these kids that we're giving these powerful medicines. You know, we've evolved over hundreds of thousands of years and got to the zenith of civilization without drugging all of our children in such a way and prescribing everybody with some mental illness. There was some test that they did in California. I can't remember what the name of the test was, but they basically sent out people to like psychological institutions and said, well, just tell them that, you know, be perfectly normal, except say that you hear the word thud in your head and see how many of them were diagnosed as crazy. They diagnosed them all as crazy, even though they were totally normal. And so I guess I worry about all these people drugging. I'm sort of on the conspiracy theory side on this one, not that there's a plot or anything like that, but I worry about drugging all of these kids. What do you think about this issue?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I've read articles seeing the long-term effects on, they have not been able to see long-term effects of putting these medications into children because, I mean, they've only now started to do it. But at the same time, I want to say I trust doctors to not over-medicate and put the right dosage, smaller dosages of these medications into children. And I want to say I trust parents to not bring their children to a doctor unless there's a legitimate problem. Because I really want to say, buddy down, I really want to say a parent wouldn't bring their child to a doctor if it's not just, well, he's a little hyper sometime versus, dude, the kid is at the point where he's unable to control himself when he wants to. Because I have a cousin who you know would love to be able to control herself, but just cannot sit still. Mm-hmm. And you know the ADHD meds make all the difference in the world. But I mean, there are countries who medicate less, and there is some anecdotal evidence that food dyes it's being taken out of the diet do make a difference. So like I said, some anecdotal evidence. And some parents, when they remove food dyes from the diet, have seen a lot of difference. So, I mean, you know what, if that works for you, if you see that your child is hyperactive, try looking at labels and taking it out. You know, it's personal responsibility and looking at what you're feeding your child. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I look at this and go, you know, in the 50s, we didn't have this problem with our children. Why don't we see what we're feeding our kid and see if there's a difference? It's on the parent to say, okay, I can just give my kid vegetables and say I'm not going to give them all the processed junk that has food dyes. Mm-hmm. So that's there has been that correlation seen in anecdotes. I don't know if they've done a long-term study on it or not. As for the medications, I think that if a child does have an illness like that, and there is that scene sometimes, you know, bring them to a psychologist, have them buddy down, new puppy parent problems, perfectionist.
All right, well, since you're having fun, this is the last question, and And we'll kind of wrap this up here, but we'll talk about something fun anyway. Now, when I posted something from you on the Libertarian Republic, a lot of my fans got angry with you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And they're mad at me, too, right now, because I posted something bashing Alex Jones and conspiracy theorists earlier. So they're very angry with me. And I am a shill for the lizard people. But do you think a lot of libertarians are...
Lizard people are my friends. I'm just kidding.
I know. Do you think a lot of libertarians are just kind of nuts?
Oh, but they're my nuts. I like.
I know, right? And that's the thing is, like, whenever they meet me in person, they're always kind of like, "Oh, you're actually not so bad." But then they see you post, post something from, like, you know, like from you or Michael Shermer or whatever, and they're like, you know, like, they get so angry.
It is so much easier to yell at someone online. I've been told I'm worse than Hitler because he killed 12 million Jews. I deleted a couple of comments from anti-vaxxers. I'm way worse than Hitler.
Whoa, you are worse than Hitler. That's for
worse
sure.
Worse than Hitler. I'm like, I've been Godwinned. Yes, I've made it as an internet personality.
You have. You totally have. So I mean, here's my thing. You know, we've got to get the message out. What I'm specifically trying to expand our sphere of influence. And, you know, one of the problems that I'm running into is that I think most people are kind of dumb. And since we're on the more science side of things, you know, it's hard to kind of arrive at scientific conclusions where you have to look at lots of evidence and read boring studies and all that kind of stuff. And so the marketplace is such that it's like, if you're a conspiracy theorist and you're willing to say that 9/11 was an inside job and that vaccines caused autism, you'll have a whole huge audience of ready-made, credulous idiots ready to believe everything you say. If you're trying to educate people about what's really going on with science and you're skeptical skeptical of things like, anti-vaxxers and all that kind of stuff, well, then you have to, it's like you're working uphill. Why do you think that is? And do you think that there's any hope for us of you know, sort of like the minority against the majority of the hordes of like cretins?
I understand what you're saying. Now, first of all, you said, you know, people aren't smart, or I'm not sure, I forgot what the comment was at first. I think people are smart, and people are scared, and people are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I know Buddy wanted to give you some. First of all, it helps to be a cute blonde girl with a puppy.
It does, right.
People are scared and vulnerable. Because there's this whole big world of information out there. And it helps to be a voice that says, you're not stupid for not understanding all of this. It is not your fault that this person gave you this piece of information that you didn't understand, and told you that vaccines cause autism, or that GMOs are out to poison you, or that 9/11 was an inside job. It is not your fault that you were told this piece of information. But here's the truth. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm a scientist at this pesticide company, and I've never gotten sick because of the pesticides. Mm-hmm. I eat conventionally grown produce. Here's the truth, and it's not your fault that somebody told you this lie. I never blame the victim when they believe something like this, because, you know, they're not, it's not their fault. It's just, never tell them that they're stupid for that.
They're going to love you for that, and the puppy and the cute blonde. Wow, you win on all fronts tonight. I'm the bad guy.
I've only been up for about 6 weeks, and I have about 6,000 followers.
All right. Well, you're going to have maybe a couple hundred extra ones after we get this show up.
And like I said, I'm not the enemy. I eat my own product, and I have a really cute dog. If you search hashtag science dog, there are lots of cute pictures of Buddy. We're having a really good time.
Awesome. Well, where can we find out more information if we want to follow you?
I'm on Twitter at just @sciencebabe, and Facebook, I'm on Facebook at just facebook.com/sciencebabe. I really hope you come join me, and thank you so much for having me on. I had a good time.
Yeah, me too. I hope you have a great night.